plate a potential nugget.
That's a great point. I mean, one of the guests, ex-faculty at INSEAD, Herminia Ibarra, she spoke about this notion of foreclosure, where she said when she looked at transitions, one of the most common traps people fell into was just closing too early on an option.
Yes.
And to your point, there's something to be said about cooking things for a while before we take the plunge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe just picking up on that, Herminia also talks about this notion of liminality, where your identity is in suspension. I was curious about how this plays out in the context of a couple, when a couple is navigating this together.
Yeah.
And maybe just to link it to another thing you say in the book, you also talk about mutual secure-based relationships.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're connected.
Yes. So when we think of these big transitions, the thing which really helps couples is to shift their model of support. So when we think of what is a supportive relationship in couples, we very often think of good old British tea and sympathy. So I'm going to plump up your self-esteem, try and make you feel good about yourself. If you have a setback, I will, you know, tell you you're the best thing in the world, which is, you know, who doesn't like this? It's lovely. But essentially what that kind of support does is it keeps us in our comfort zone, which feels great, but it's not helpful for a big transition. Because we all know that to make a transition, we've got to get out there and take risks. We've got to explore different options. We've got to experiment with potential paths. It's a bit of a contact sport, if I can put it that way.
Sure.
And if we're stuck in our couples with this very close model of support, it can keep people in their comfort zone and really inhibit that exploration and experimentation. So the couples who do very well, I found, are those who flick their model of support from that to a model of support called a secure base. Now, a secure base means three things. First, it means, of course, there is that level of comfort, that level of support, but layered on top of that are another two things. One is a, if I can think of it as a loving kick away from the relationship. So a loving push away to say, you know, I'll be here to dust you off, but you get out there and figure it out. So if you're unsure, if you're having these existential questions, the response is, don't worry, we'll be fine. It's okay, get out there then and figure something out. So it's this push to explore, a push away from the safety of the relationship, away from the comfort zone, and into that learning zone, that risk zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a bit counterintuitive because in a relationship, when our partner's feeling a little bit uncertain and a little bit wobbly, our natural instinct, just like that with our children, is to hold them close, is to give them a cuddle, you know, metaphorically and really. And this is quite the opposite. When we see our partner struggling with something, feeling a little unsure, instead of pulling them close, we actually push them away in a loving way. And so it's quite a different model of support. But the third thing about a secure base is it's also a very arm's length support. So it's not about interfering. It's not about, did you call that headhunter and did you read that book and did you go to that networking event? That's really unhelpful. So it's a real arm's length push away. And what I found in couples was when they could both do this for each other, when they could both provide this secure base, that's when the magic happened. Because what happened was both partners could then go out and do the work of experimentation, exploration, and reflection that all of us need to do to get through a transition. And both felt very supported in that, and both could get to the other side. And I think, you know, when we first started talking about the second transition, I said this could be a time of incredible growth for people in their careers and relationship. And this growth really stems from this secure-based support at the root of our relationships.
You also say that this phase is the peak time for breakups and divorce, and you allude to the notion of relational resilience. Talk to us about what's at play here.
Yeah, so it is. It's a very dicey period. It can either go great or it can go badly.
High beta, as they say in finance.
High beta. Why is the question? It's because when we see our partners wrestling with these questions, it's very easy for us to interpret that as an issue with our relationship. you know, if you're not happy, is that my fault? Am I doing something wrong? You know, if you're questioning your direction, are you also questioning your relationship? And what can happen in couples who are not talking and not providing a secure base to each other is they can get into a spiral of doubting each other, of secrecy, of resentment. And we all know that's the fast-tracked divorce. And when we look at the divorce statistics, we do see there's a peak around this kind of phase of our careers and our lives. And so it really can go one way or the other. And that's why this ongoing dialogue and this secure-based support is so vital at this time. And also this idea of relational resilience. You know, even if you are really supporting each other in the right way and you're going out there and exploring and experimenting, it is tough. For all of us who've been through a big transition know it's tough psychologically. It's tough because there's a degree of uncertainty. You know, it's tough because it's emotionally tough, and that can put strain on couples. And so couples really need to be resilient. But we know that couples grow a lot closer to each other when they go through these tough periods. Hmm. So it may feel really hard in the moment, but we do know that couples that come out the other side of this often emerge a lot stronger than when they went in.
The point Jennifer makes about being arm's length is a very subtle but a profound one. One of my friends once said something along similar lines. You need to let your spouse figure out her calling at her own pace, and you can't quite rush it. But given this is a phase when people are at their busiest, and I include myself when I say this, this is often hard to pull off. It is very easy to get judgmental, snappy, and end up wearing a Mr. Fix-It hat, which is not quite what the spouse is looking for. They're just looking for a little bit of psychological safety and a nudge in the right direction for them to take safe risks and explore a few things to see where they might want to go. If you're deriving value from the podcast, please consider paying it forward to Antarang Foundation, an organization I work with closely. Antarang Foundation is a not-for-profit that works with thousands of young adults and helps them play to their potential. While the world of human potential, I believe, is uniformly distributed, I feel the world of opportunities, unfortunately, quite uneven. We may not realize it or want to acknowledge it, but the reality is that a lot of us are beneficiaries of the ovarian lottery, a term that Warren Buffett uses to describe the situation. And this sets us up very differently. To know more about how you can make a difference, do visit the Pay It Forward section at playtopotential.com.